Climate change has made some aspects of development more difficult as planners, builders, and others have to take extreme heat, drought, and wildfire, among other impacts, into account. That's something my next guest spends a lot of time thinking about. Molly McCabe is CEO of Hayden Tanner, a real estate advisory firm that focuses on investing in communities and the built environment with an eye toward sustainability and social equity. She's also a developer and former chair of the Urban Land Institute's Responsible Property Investment Council. She joins me. And Molly, what are some of the bigger sustainability-related questions developers and those for whom they're developing are asking right now, especially here in the West?
Well, I think undoubtedly in the West, what we are seeing are major conversations and different decisions being made around issues such as wildfires, issues such as drought, water availability, energy use, and in a number of states in the West in particular, you know, they have climate resilience plans that have been put in place by state legislatures that many communities are trying to address in combination, interestingly enough, with the challenges they have with housing policy.
Yeah, that seems like an interesting intersection where clearly cities, you know, across Arizona, across the country, are in need of more housing and in many cases more affordable housing. But at the same time, it seems as though the way that those buildings are built and the places those buildings are built are really sort of coming under new scrutiny.
There's no doubt. You know, what we often say right now is that housing policy is also climate policy, and the accelerated housing demand with the challenges to building in urban cores is resulting in a sort of a dual problem of insufficient new construction, but also development in areas that are most at risk from fires. And that's been an increasing challenge for a number of communities. As people start to move out into those, what's called the wildland urban interface, the WUI, as it were, W-U-I, in places where previously we had not had housing. And so now you have a number of homes that are right along edges of, you know, dense forested areas, and the ability for firefighters to protect those areas is becoming much more challenging. So it's a dual problem. You also have a situation where in a number of communities, whether that's in the WUI or even in places where you have flooding and other things, a lot of the lower income communities have been built in these areas most at risk, and they're most likely least able to adapt to climate risk and fires and flooding and things like that.
Does it seem as though there can be a consensus on trying to find either a solution or some solutions to deal with this without restricting where people can build their homes and where people can live and the way that you know, natural fire should happen to keep the forest healthy?
You know, that's a great question. Recently, I was on an Urban Land Institute panel focused on Sonoma County in California. And one of the things that I took away from that conversation was how invested people are in their local communities. And so to tell someone you can't build a home there, you have to move, that's very personal, and it's very painful for people to think about. That being said, what we also recognize through that work there and elsewhere is that it's really crucial for communities to come together and have those very difficult conversations, because in order to keep communities safe, those decisions have to be made. So in many cases, we're seeing that there are opportunities such as something called a transfer development, right? Where you say, you have the right to build here, but we're going to essentially pay you not to build there, and you can build someplace else. But it's a hard conversation for many people to have, and it's one that needs to be done sensitively. But communities, when they come together and really look at it from a systems perspective, sort of a holistic mindset, bring in all the entire community to talk about it, then I think those solutions can be had.
I wonder if that's a similar approach that communities and stakeholders are taking with other sustainability type issues in the West in terms of things like extreme heat and drought and things like that.
Absolutely. What we're finding, say, for example, let's take drought, for example. One of the things that's been interesting is a number of communities are being severely limited in their ability to expand because of their water availability and the stresses on the systems in their current capacity. And so communities are coming together and in some cases putting moratoriums on new development until they can figure out how they can address those challenges. You know, what do they need to do in terms of water resources, for example? Those conversations are definitely being had. And I think communities want to be stronger. So you just need to include everyone in the conversation.
Do incentives work enough to use those alone as opposed to putting restrictions in place or, you know, making certain requirements of people when it comes to any of these issues?
Incentives are nice and they certainly do work in some cases, but certainly, you know, as a public policy, practical public policy matter, sometimes we do find that you have to implement certain things. But a lot of that is a conversation to be had with the community and an explanation. So I think community members understand if you say to them, you need to harden the area around your home, you need to create defensible space. People understand that. You may require that it happens over time, but I think it's a communication component and an education component that is crucial for that the acceptance to happen. We need to learn to live with fire, and we need to learn to live with drought. These situations are not going to go away. With climate change happening so quickly, we need to recognize that we need to come up with different solutions. And, you know, wildfires, for example, are, you know, an increasing concern across the entire West. And so, you know, development patterns will have to change. We have to come up with new solutions, and we just need to partner with each other to make our communities safer and to be more resilient over the long haul.
It sounds like what you're saying is like adaptation is maybe more important than like trying to completely eliminate the problem. Like the issue is learning to live with the problem as opposed to getting rid of it.
I think adaptation is absolutely one component of it. And we need to figure out what we can do to mitigate it on the front end so that we don't, so it's not exacerbated.
Molly McCabe is CEO of the real estate advisory firm Hayden Tanner and is based in Montana. She's also a former chair of the Urban Land Institute's Responsible Property Investment Council.